What is up, my friends? Welcome to another episode of Born to Thrive, the podcast where we help you embrace your power and live the life you're meant to live. Today, we have a very incredible guest. Her name is Cheryl, the co-founder and CEO of Empowered to Profit, a revolutionary accounting agency that breaks free from the stereotypical accountant mold. Cheryl is on a mission to ensure your business makes sense for you, prioritizing relationships over transactions. After all, what's the point if it doesn't align with your goals and dreams? Get ready for an eye-opening conversation that challenges traditional business norms and puts the spotlight on making your business truly work for you. Well, hello, Cheryl.
Well, thanks for the invite. What an intro. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. It's always funny doing the intros for people because I'm like, you guys are the ones who give me the information. I just kind of put it together.
So good. So fancy.
Coming from you. Well, so obviously I know you on a personal level and you're just a badass. I have to start off by saying that. She just does all the things and still manages to be a mom, a wife, and just an awesome human being all around. And I guess I'm curious, what actually inspired founding Empowered to Profit?
Yeah. If we go way back to when the business was started, it was just this idea that I wanted to make $1,000 more a month. That's it. Because I like to travel. And my husband kept saying, we already get to go on 2 vacations a year. Like, stop asking for more. People like us shouldn't be taking more trips. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, well, if I bring home, and we were doing well, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, if I bring home an additional 12 grand a year, he can't complain. Right. And that quickly, exploded, and I'm so blessed. Mm-hmm. But during that conversation and meeting business owners and helping them with their numbers, something came up over and over again. And it was that business owners were not getting paid themselves. Mm. It was this constant, I make money, but my business makes money, but I'm not making money. Mm. And if we can just be real, what the heck is the point of any of this if it's not affecting you personally?
Yeah.
And all that money is giving you opportunities. So I wanted to be able to add to that conversation. It's cool. We can do your finances day in, day out, rinse and repeat. We've been doing it for years. But if it's not affecting you, what's the point?
Yeah. So I know you said it just exploded, but also you have the work ethic of a million incredible CEOs. And so I know it didn't just explode. There was definitely a lot of work that you put into it. So I'm curious, it sounded like you started it as a side hustle almost.
Sure.
What was the kind of, because I feel like a lot of people do side hustles, which is totally fine. But what was the pivotal moment where you realized this doesn't have to just be a side hustle? This can be an actual business for me.
Yeah, I had a lot of mind blocks, to be honest. I had a high up executive level job working for the state with a pension, those golden handcuffs, a really nice salary, cushiony. But it just came to the point where one was what do I enjoy doing? Where's my passion? Where's my energy? And also the financial reward was there, right? Mm-hmm. I could still do all the things I wanted, still travel and live the lifestyle I want. I never wanted to personally lower my lifestyle to have this business. Mm-hmm. I needed it to be able to almost swap. Mm-hmm. And that's a personal choice. I'm not saying other people have to do that. That was just a personal one. I know what my lifestyle costs. I know it's expensive. So once I was at a point where the business could sustain that, I was all right, let's do it.
Interesting. So a conversation I've been having with a lot of people recently is around almost needing to hit a low before you have the drive and determination to really commit to this thing, especially in the fitness side of things or even building a business. And it doesn't sound like you had that. And so I'm so curious about that. What was some of the mindset blockades you then needed to overcome to be able to do this?
Yeah. A lot, my hardest struggle was having the conversation at home. I am married, right? It affects both of us. And I did have the dream job. I was at the top of the ladder. There was nowhere for me to go. And it was why do you want more? And it's I do. I was just recently at a Tony Robbins event and he talks a lot about you have to find your low, what's your hell, and then climb back from it. Mm-hmm. I don't have that. I don't have that story. I don't have a rags to riches story. Sometimes I wish I do. I feel like marketing would be easier, but I just don't. I just wanted more. I wanted to travel unapologetically. Mm-hmm. And that's what I do.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that you like wish you had that. I wish more people didn't, because I get why it's helpful, because people can relate to that. Yeah. But also I think a lot of people now think you have to hit this low. You have to hit this pain point before you're actually motivated to pursue this thing that you say that you want. And I'm like, you don't. It shouldn't take that much pain for you to finally pursue this life that you say you want to live. So I love that.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's no low.
Good. I love that for you.
I want more. I can do more.
That's right.
I'm bored. And I have like achievement syndrome. So like I achieved it. I was the audit director. Like I ran the state financials. Like I did it all at a fairly young age. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what's next? So then I had a successful side hustle while I did that. I'm like, okay, what's next?
Interesting. So I have a question. I know I'm kind of diverting and we're going to go around to stuff. So you always like think about what's next.
I do.
You're a very also like outdoorsy. You like being in nature, which usually correlates to like more of like a someone who lives in the present. Not always, but sometimes. But I am curious, how do you find enjoyment and appreciation and gratitude while also being somebody who's constantly chasing the next best thing?
I am so grateful. I love where I live. I love what I get to do. I love the experiences that I have. Mm-hmm. I don't know why you wouldn't want to stack them, right? So it's not that my current experiences aren't great and aren't amazing. I'm obsessed. Like, that's like my obsession is living the life I want, but I want to continuously stack experiences. And in order to continually stack experience, it's like, great, what's next? What can I say I did? Mark off some imaginary list.
Have you always been that way?
Probably and without knowing.
Wow. I love that so much. You are just an incredible human being.
You're so kind.
So are you. So I'm like, because one of the things I love about you is you're very direct.
Yeah.
You are a very like no BS person. And I guess that's another curiosity. Have you always been that way?
I have always been that way. I can't say it always works for me, right? Like I feel like society where it's like, you should be sweet and sugarcoat it and then like walk around how to get to what you want. I don't have time for that. You don't have time for that, whoever I'm working with. And let's just be honest. Mm-hmm. And then we can move forward. And it doesn't mean it comes from like rudeness or none of that takes place, but it's like, this is what I need to accomplish. This is what you need to accomplish. And this is where we're at currently. Mm-hmm. How do we get to achieve this? Mm-hmm. We have less BS. You just save everyone's time. You save that emotional head game. Cause I haven't met someone who doesn't overthink.
Oh yeah.
So if we can just avoid the, like, I wonder if this and like read between the lines and just have an honest conversation, but kindly, like you can do all that and you can be direct kindly.
Mm-hmm. That's one of my favorite things about you, because I have seen so many people have background conversations in businesses, and I will always then be the person who just goes straight to whoever we need to talk to and be like, hey, this is going on. And I don't say anything about the background conversation. I say, hey, these are some of my concerns. What's going on? What can I know more about it? And I've had people like message me or tell me, oh my gosh, that was so scary. I can't believe you did that. Or like, they're like laughing, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you did that. And they're like excited. And I'm like, why is this revolutionary?
I don't
know. To be direct. So what do you have? I guess, what's a good tip? Because as ops human too, it's like, you have to help other people be more comfortable to do that. So what's one way that you think either business owners or people who are also like working in a business, because either role is completely fine, what recommendations do you have to people who are maybe trying to embrace that side of themselves?
Yeah, there's a couple. One, I hate the game of telephone. So if you can bring whoever needs to hear it together, so they hear it from like the central source, and it can't be, and not even that's intentionally, but it can't be manipulated. It can't be changed. Yeah. Someone can't throw their spin on it because you hear it directly.
Yeah.
Like everyone wins.
Yeah.
So whenever I meet with staff or whoever is going to touch the thing, I bring everyone involved. So you hear it. And just like, likewise, if someone else needs to tell me something, like, just tell me, like, board and also have the goal. Like, what is the objective? Like, what are you trying to accomplish? Because at the end of the day, in a business, whether you're the CEO or you work in the company, you all have the same goal, right? So you may have different ways of achieving it, but if you know what the goal is and you can communicate it, like, hands down. And then my last, like, huge people tip, I'm sure it's not my last, but I want to include it.
Yeah.
I support my staff so much. Like, whether I agree with what you did or not, if you can support the reason, even if we make a pivot, I got your back no matter what. I will stand up. I have your back no matter what. If you can justify why you made a decision, whether I agree with it or not, I got you. We may pivot and do something different, but you don't ever have to worry if you can justify why you made a decision.
That, I love that. Because my next question was going to be, how do you make it a safe space? Because I'm somebody who grew up where I was basically convinced that feedback or like open conversations was a bad thing. And that's why I was scared to have them, because I thought I was going to get in trouble. I thought I was going to be reprimanded. I thought I was going to be judged. And I know that that's where my beliefs came from. And I had to overcome that. And I love the fact that you mentioned, like, you are on their side. And that's how you create a safe space for those people. And you can do that in any facet of life. Again, it doesn't have to just be in business. But if you can show people that even if I don't agree with you, it is okay to come to me.
1%.
Yeah, I love that. So I know we've kind of pivoted a couple ways. And so I do want to go back to your business because I find it so interesting. So in a world where accounting often follows a very set mold, how do you challenge the stereotypes and actually create an agency that truly benefits the business owner?
So we talk about business owners getting paid. Like, that is our obsession. That's our bread and butter. That's what sets us apart. If you aren't getting paid, none of it matters. And we like to use, obviously, we all have to start from, I'm just going to be real, the boring part, your bookkeeping, like what has happened in the past and how can we use it to make a forward-facing decision?
Yeah.
And that's where most accounting firms stop, because all you need is what you did in the past so you can file your taxes, so you can fill out a couple bank forms. But what if you take that information and you plan your future for it? And quite frankly, if you're not planning your financial future, how are you living and achieving your goals and your dreams? How are you, like, actually accomplishing the thing? There's a reason why you started all this.
Yeah.
So let's actually happen.
Yeah. I love that. It's funny. I just had another business mentor actually on, and his whole thing was, one of the first things I do with people is I ask them, what do you want? And most people can't even answer that question. And we will break it down to, what's the house you want to have? How many kids do you want to have? How much does that cost? Because we need to know. Otherwise, you're not going to know how much you need to bring home. And I brought up the parallel of how I personally will never be jealous of someone who owns a farm. I don't want to live on one. That's not, like, my dream life. But, like, I will be jealous of somebody who's living in, like, the mountains and has a really nice house in there and can, like, go hiking all the time. Like, that's to me, like, a dream life, and have the business. So once you can gain that clarity, it helps so much. And I'm curious, because you mentioned the bookkeeping, you start with the, like, unsexy stuff, but so many people have a fear of finances.
It's that fear of looking, how bad is it really?
Yeah.
What if, instead of how bad is it really, what opportunities are there?
Yeah.
Typically, the worse things are, or the worse you perceive things, your little wins and your opportunities are so much easier to obtain.
I think, so what's interesting is, I think sometimes when we hear those things, it almost sounds like easier said than done, because then you're like, but I'm still scared of it. So I know obviously one of the actions is to just look. Like, that's what you have to do. Do you have any other action steps for people to maybe help them overcome that initial fear?
Yeah, for sure. One, like, make it a routine. So every single morning, check your bank account, right? Like, let's not make it some revolutionary where we have to be in, like, five different spreadsheets. The more complicated you make this, you're not going to do it.
Yeah.
So just start with your bank account. That's it. And then I like to say, if you are not over six figures, this is another thing that sets us apart. Do your own bookkeeping.
Oh, Log in. Love that.
You are so dang smart. You started a business. Let's not pretend that we can't handle some classifying transactions, right? Like, that's what sets us apart. do your bookkeeping. And in fact, you can do it for free on Wave, W-A-V-E. It's a software. If you have not hit six figures, is that my preferred method? No, that could be QuickBooks. But if you're new, start there. Mm-hmm. Just classify. Don't, it's not complicated. And you're so smart. I hate mostly women tell themselves that I'm not a math person. I can't handle this. I'm not smart. And I'm like, you started a business and you have sales. Like, you're a genius.
Yeah. Like, your positivity is just like, it deserves so many applause right now, because I think that's one of the biggest hurdles that people face is actually finding essentially a growth mindset in this, because you're constantly looking at everything as opportunities. And like, that's one thing we tell our fitness clients all the time is like, these aren't setbacks. They're not failures. They're opportunities to learn and move forward and just get a little bit better. If you just view them as lessons, it's not going to be that scary. So I guess then we have one key action that people can take if they're under like the six-figure realm, but like, what other key elements should business owners consider to actually make their ventures sustainable and personally rewarding?
Yeah. So I would like to like magnifying this whole routine thing. So you're going to check your bank account balance. Cool. If you're under six figures, you do your bookkeeping. You're going to do that less than 5 minutes a day. That's all it takes. Less than 5 minutes a day. If you're under six, and if you're over six, someone else does it. The third key thing is, when are you paying yourself? Be a routine. Now, whether that's weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, I don't care, but it should be the exact same cadence every single time. So then you transfer, you literally transfer money out of your business bank account into your personal account. It's like your paycheck. And sure, we could overcomplicate it for S-corps and whatever, and that's like a conversation for a different day. But if you're just like in that new business, you're not an S-corp, you have to transfer money to yourself and pay yourself in cadence. So the next question typically is, well, how much?
I was going to say.
How much? I'm obsessed with the profit first strategy, but let's make it even simpler. A percentage of your revenue should go to you. So if you're under $250,000 a year, the goal is to get 50% of that back to you. That's the goal. It may not be starting there. So it's what can your business do? So like, you plan for that. So we have a CEO dashboard we do where we, you know, the next 12 months, like what do we think revenue will look like? What do we think expenses will look like? It's not overcomplicated. You just have to do it.
Yeah. I love that. And so you said a percentage, and I know you gave like the 250,000, but I guess people under $100,000 who are kind of maybe just starting out, it's their side hustle, or they're still trying to figure these things out. What's your recommendation of a percentage?
The goal, again, that's the goal, is to get to 50% of your revenue.
Oh, for so any number.
If you're under 250,000.
Oh, interesting. Okay, cool.
Yeah. And I can share some charts with you. And that was written by Mike Michalowicz of the Profit from Strategy. I can even send you the Cliff Notes if you want to give them out to people. But the goal is to get in that habit of moving money from the business to you.
Why is that important?
Because when it's all in one account, you are paying, 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 and you are the last. And what comes last gets ignored. Whether that's a priority, if it's your fitness, whatever's last on your priority list is usually ignored, pushed off, and you just get leftovers. So what if you flipped that script and made yourself your priority in your business, and you paid yourself and you operated with the leftovers?
Oh, interesting. Because I know also there's probably other complications from like an accounting perspective too, if you're just paying for things for yourself out of the business bank account. So there's also that aspect for anybody who doesn't know, because I think sometimes people just think like, it is my money, because they hear that from people. And I'm like, it is. But then like, when it comes to actually organizing your books and doing other things, like, you need to have a separation of business and personal. Otherwise it gets really, really messy. So
for taxes, and you want to get all your deductions. So you have to separate.
And it's going to make your life very, very hectic to try and organize it. I remember my first year, that was like the information that I was told by a business mentor. And this is why you don't take financing advice from a business mentor. You take it from an accountant. And it was that like, well, the money's yours. And I was like, okay. And I was paying everything out of my business account because I didn't know better. And I had to go through and literally manually organize every single thing. And similarly, I didn't even know how much I was technically like bringing home. And I ended up only taking, like, quote, bringing home around, I think it was like 20% of my profit. And I was like, this is terrible. I was like, I could have done so many more things, but I was so scared to because I didn't know how much money I had.
Yeah, you have to separate your business and your personal. And at the end of the day, it will also make when you file your taxes a lot cheaper because it's all organized.
Yeah. So what role does financial clarity actually play in achieving personal and business success?
I think it's everything. I the first step is if you can make sales, and then it's what do I do with that money once it comes in, right?
Like, what do you like people to do?
I like you to pay yourself, and I like you to plan, like, is your business aligning with your goals? So often the marketing in the world is so dang good that we're just paying for all these things. I need this business coach. I need this software. I need this advertising. And none of that is even aligning with where you want your business to go in the next 12 months. So if you plan for those dollars, even in your business, where do you want them to go? Is this the year you want to upgrade your marketing or your website? Like, is that your priority this year? Or are you falling subject to some really good marketing? But if we direct our dollars to where they want to go, you'll see so much greater results.
I love that. As a marketing human, I see that all the time. And it's one of the things that drives me absolutely bonkers, because we're launching our like content that converts course to help coaches create content that actually converts people into sales. And one of the main things we always say is like, you lead with value first. And people always think that they need to give like the flashy tips, or they need to talk about how all their clients have lost 50 pounds and it's this really shiny thing. And I'm like, you're misconstruing your message, because you're feeding into this narrative. And it's the same thing with the finances, where people see, oh, they have this business coach, or they went to this event. Like, I know you mentioned you went to a Tony Robbins event. Love events like that. A lot of times for me personally, I found that so many of those events leave me on this emotional high. I hate using this term, but it's very correct, of like the kind of like emotional masturbation, where it's like, it's getting you excited. It's getting you like ready to go. But nothing tangible comes out of it. And I went to my first event, quote, that we just did copywriting all weekend. We literally wrote 25 emails and made an entire email marketing sequence. And it was the least sexy, we're all in a room, it felt like we were in school thing, but it was the most productive I had ever been. So how do you think, or what's your recommendation for people who maybe get that shiny object syndrome or fall almost victim to the marketing out there?
Yeah. We do that CEO dashboard where we plan for like, what is our business goals in the next 12 months? And we're going to direct the dollars towards those business goals. And that way, when a shiny object comes up or something exciting, because it does, like it all happens, do you have the business dollars without sacrificing your personal dollars to invest in it? And when you look at it that way, okay, I can buy X, Y, and Z, but it will take from my personal paycheck. Are you willing to do that?
Yeah.
And the answer might be like, yeah, maybe. It's so amazing. Great. As long as you made the conscious decision.
Yeah. So the CEO dashboard, what are some of the key elements that you go over there? I know you keep talking about like the vision of the business, but that can be so broad. So how can people maybe on their own gain more clarity in that?
Yeah, let's break it down. So when you look at a CEO dashboard, and let's be real, you can make your own in Google Sheets. Like,
what is a CEO dashboard?
It's literally an Excel spreadsheet, a Google spreadsheet, and you're going to start at your top line. You're going to predict your revenue for the next 12 months.
I'm going to also go here because I think some people don't know this. What is top line?
What is coming in? What is the money coming in? Yep. Where are your sales coming? And the next objection I hear is like, Cheryl, I don't know what I'm going to make next week. I make variable income. Mm-hmm. Of course you do. What have you done in the past, right? What is your marketing? We anticipate it's going to go up or down? Do we have some really cool marketing pushes? Or do you have a new product? Right? So you're just doing a prediction. Mm-hmm. And I am so conservative. I reduce that prediction by about 15% for all business owners. So that's what we're going to start. So picture that on the top line for the next 12 months. Mm-hmm. I know we're entering a new calendar year, but it's rolling. So it doesn't matter when it starts. From there, let's break down a little bit further. Mm-hmm. If you have COGS, so cost to do business. So if you sell shirts, buying the shirt is a COGS, mm-hmm. right? Typically in the online world, you don't have any, or they're so limited, we don't have to talk mm-hmm. about them. If you sell a product or service, that's the cost to make it. Mm-hmm. You're going to subtract that from your revenue. Stay with me. The Excel spreadsheet will do it all for you. You can do it even if you don't like math.
You're doing a great job of this, by the way. I feel like you think this is boring. I think this is so helpful for people. And so people need to listen and digest this.
Huge.
Yeah.
So you take your revenue, you're going to subtract your COGS, and that's going to be your real revenue. That's what you mm-hmm. have to pay yourself, operate your business off of, pay mm-hmm. your taxes. That's what you have left over. Mm-hmm. From there, normally what in a typical business you would do is you would buy all the things, right? Like spend your business and then whatever's left over, you keep. We mm-hmm. flip that here. Mm-hmm. So you're going to take that real revenue and you're going to mm-hmm. pay yourself, mm-hmm. right? So a percentage of that real revenue goes back to you. Mm-hmm. Whatever's left after that percentage, you then operate your business. So where do you want to invest in the next 12 months? Mm-hmm. What are you looking? What does your payroll look like? Mm. I'm so obsessed with hiring responsibly and not like yo-yo hiring.
Yeah.
Yo-yo hiring happens because you don't have this profit plan. You're not planning out the next 12 months. You don't know if you can sustain it. Mm-hmm. Once you do this, you see if you can.
I love that. It's funny. That was going to be my next question, because I feel like what sometimes people can be so quick to hire, not always, but sometimes. And what is it? Slow to hire, quick to fire. That's what the kind of new term is now. And I find it so interesting because we live in the society that is now pushed grind mentality. So like work all the time, which obviously you and I are not fans of. And then we've also almost, I'm going to say this so gently, we've also almost kind of found the polar opposite of almost like a coddle mentality.
This or this. It's yes. such extremes.
And it's like, why can't we live in the gray where we recognize, hey, maybe there are some things that we should be still handling ourselves because of the place that the business is currently in that maybe aren't the sexiest things or the most exciting things to us. But I guess, so I know one of the things to focus on is like hiring out in positions that maybe aren't your strong suits. And then also maybe you're not super, super, super excited to do. So how do you help people prioritize that or get clear on that?
Yeah, I think maybe the best way to explain it is I'll give you a glimpse into our own business. Cool. So as we were bringing on more clients, we needed support, right, mm-hmm. to service. Mm-hmm. So we were able to bring in people to help with that service. And we mm-hmm. have like values, whatever, and pay and yada, yada. Mm-hmm. When we could afford that comfortably and sustainably, because this is mm-hmm. someone else's livelihood.
Yeah.
Their family, right? Mm-hmm. They're taking care of their family off of the check you offer. Mm-hmm. It's such a responsibility, mm-hmm. right? So once you can sustain it, where do you need the help the most immediately? Mm-hmm. So we could not bring on more clients until we had additional accounting support. And I always dreamed of, I wanted a social media manager. Like, that was my thing. I always wanted one. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy to say we just got one, but hey. We waited until we had the revenue to support this person's check the mm-hmm. long term. And it's not, if you have to rely on all your clients today for mm-hmm. tomorrow's payroll, that's not mm-hmm. the way to do it. What if you lose a single client?
How far out do you recommend people have in their bank account, like in their business bank account, to support payroll?
I would love to say like 3-4 months, but it's so specific on your actual business mm-hmm. and your ability to consistently bring in clients or sell your product or service. So mm-hmm. if you're like, we may lose clients, but we rinse and repeat and we bring in new clients rather quickly. Mm-hmm. It's not as much of a risk because you've had history to prove you can do it. Mm-hmm. Where maybe if you're new in obtaining those clients, like you go through some lulls, then you need more bank account for longer.
Yeah.
But also, when you hire these people, are they reducing your own pay, right? Mm. So often people are bringing on teams and they're not paying themselves.
Oh.
But if you just want to be an absentee owner and like, you're like, okay, if there's any profit at the end of the month, that's fine. But the majority of people are not looking to be an absentee owner. Mm-hmm. They're working their butt off. This is your goal. This is your dream. Why is Sally getting paid more than you?
Yeah.
Haven't planned for it. And sometimes you have to just do the dang work.
Yeah. It's funny. I see that on like Shark Tank all the time. People are like, I'm not paying myself yet. And they're making like tons of money. And I'm like, what? Like, I would be so stressed because I'm like, what are you doing? And I'm like, how are you also achieving this? You brought up something interesting in the sense of like your ability to bring on new clients, things like that. And so this is going to be an interesting shift here because I'm curious what your thoughts are. Obviously, the world is in a different economical point and there's a lot of shifts happening. And I hear a lot more, I'm going to use this word and maybe you want to shift it to something else, but I think there's a lot more almost like fear out there because of like buyer behavior. And also obviously just the amount that people are getting paid, the amount of interest on things right now. So I'm curious, one, as a business owner, but two, obviously as someone who's very interested in finances and accounting, is what are your, I don't want to say predictions, where do you potentially see opportunities for businesses to be able to sustain their profitability through this?
I think we are seeing, coming off of COVID and all those things, mm-hmm. So many people flooded the market. Mm-hmm. People were getting services from non-experts. Mm-hmm. It was just a market flood. And now you're mm-hmm. seeing a lot of people start to leave. Mm-hmm. So your opportunity, if you hone in on like what you're so good at and you stop mm-hmm. ping-ponging all your services, yeah. you're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. You're going to be fine. The problem is we see shiny object syndrome. I should mm-hmm. offer this and this and this. You never become the expert. You never become known for something. You don't obsessively talk about the one thing because you keep changing your mind.
Yeah.
So if you just hone in on your craft, you become so dang good that like people are talking about you.
Yeah.
And you stop ping-ponging, you'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But we're also going to see buyers are going to be more skeptical mm-hmm. because we have such an influx of people who are just trying it out to see if it worked. Yeah. They were home, they were bored. You're going to start to see that flood mm-hmm. and the experts are going to thrive. And those mm-hmm. who are doing it, you're going to start to see to dull off.
Yeah.
But just like hone in on what you do. Stop this ping-ponging of like services. I offer this and then I offer this. I offer this. Like no one knows what you do.
Yeah. It's funny, from a marketing standpoint, we're seeing a lot of shift with buyers where it used to be like a 30 to maybe 60 day turnover. So someone gets in your ecosystem, someone sees you on social media or like sees one of your products or tries one of your products, whatever it might be. And then it usually takes about 30 to 60 days for that person to then make their purchase. And now we're seeing it closer to the 60 to 90 days as like pretty consistent there. And it brings me back to the point that you made of like, we would love to see 3 to 4 months of your business revenue in your account. So in that way, you're able to not come from a place of scarcity.
Yes.
And I think that's like, I guess another question. I know you're not a therapist or anything here, but for people who are maybe saying, I don't have that amount in my bank account, I like want to be able to do this, but I'm scared. How can somebody come from a place of less scarcity and continue to provide value?
Yeah. You can do so much if you're willing to do it, right? You can get creative. You can find, you have a goal. What are other ways to get there? There's so many ways to achieve the goal. Mm. And we always think like paying more because I don't have X, Y, and Z. But start using like creatively get there, like find a different way. Stop pretending there's only one road to the end goal.
Yeah.
And also be willing to like show up and don't compare your journey to someone else's.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like I shared how I wanted a social media manager for years. Like that was like the golden ticket. I saw these firms, like that was my dream.
Yeah.
And it's okay that it took years to where I could do it responsibly, because now I can confidently do it. Right. Mm-hmm. It's not like oh, was this a good idea? It's like a confident decision. Mm-hmm. And when you're confident about something, mm-hmm. your results are different too.
Your level of discipline is very admirable, because I think that's something else that a lot of people struggle with, again, in all aspects of life, is being patient. Like knowing this will work out the way that it's supposed to if I keep showing up, keep doing the things that maybe aren't super sexy that I don't really want to do. Like, it sounds like you're not really a big social media fan yourself to like do it. And so maybe you wanted, I don't know if that's a correct assumption.
I love it, but that's not where
you thrive.
Dollar for time.
Ooh, okay. Okay. Makes sense. So you did mention one other thing, and I wrote a note here about it because I wanted to make sure I touched on it because I found it So
discipline real quick though.
Oh yeah. Let's go for it.
Discipline. My business pays me. I promise you, I would not show up the way I show up if I didn't get a paycheck, if I didn't get rewarded.
Yeah.
My family and my loved ones wouldn't support what I would do if they didn't see a reward.
Mm.
People come in and they're like, my family doesn't support me. They don't encourage this. Yeah. They're not going to until you're rewarded for it.
Yeah.
It's your dream, not theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And they love you so much that if you aren't rewarded for your efforts, what is the point? So I really want to be clear. My discipline comes because I'm constantly rewarded for what I do. Like I live at the freaking lake.
Yeah.
Like that was my dream. My husband said, I think it was 4 years ago, people like us don't live on lakes.
Mm.
And I'm like, watch it. And now we do, right? Like I wake up every morning, I see the lake. I would not show up in this business. I would not show up the way I do, the obsession.
Yeah.
If I didn't have the rewards.
It's funny that you say that because one of my favorite examples for people in the fitness space is people think that they don't have motivation or they don't have discipline. And I'm like, you probably go to work on days you don't want to because you want to make money, because if you don't have money, you can't pay your bills. You probably like get up and take care of your kids on days you don't feel like it, because if you don't, then they're not taken care of. And that makes you not feel great. It's like you pay your taxes every year because you don't want to go to jail. So it's like you do have discipline because the reward and the pain of not doing that thing is so strong. You're not willing to like skip out on it.
Right.
And so you need to find that same thing when it comes to, especially for your own business. Like, I think it's such a disappointing thing that I see in this space. And I'm going to use disappointing as like a mom almost, because people ask me how I show up every single day. Like I record multiple podcasts in a week. I send my emails every single week. I put a post up every single day on social media, whether I'm feeling good, sick, have my cramps or whatever. Like I get the things done. I respond to all my clients, make sure everyone's taken care of. Like I do all the things that I know I need to do to make my business successful because I love this.
Yeah.
And I love this because it gives me this opportunity to get to travel and I get to help people. So I'm like, it's great.
And it doesn't have to be a new house. It doesn't have to be a lake home. Because in the beginning, let's be honest, it wasn't. In the beginning, my business paid for me to go to lunch. In the beginning, it was my business paid for $1,000 trip.
Mm.
Beginning, it was like I could go shopping and it didn't come from my family bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It doesn't have to be massive rewards, those little ones stack. But if you don't get any reward, that's when you're like, screw this.
Yeah. And acknowledge the rewards. Like you did such a beautiful job of just being like, I just did this and this. People will look at that and not think twice about it. They're like, oh, but I still don't have this. I still don't have that. And that's why I found it so great too that you're such a grateful human.
Yeah. There's so much to be like positive about. It's so easy once you start.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy once you start and you're like, hey, my business allows me to have these conversations. Mm-hmm. My business allows me to connect and meet really cool people. Mm-hmm. Like that was such an unexpected thing. Like just stack them. And if you have to take 5 minutes a day to just like stack some really cool things, do it.
This is going to be an interesting question. Because I know that there's going to be people who are going to hear that and be like, well, that's easy for you to say. What do you have to say to that?
There's always going to be something more, right? There's people I see now and I'd be like, oh my gosh, I would love to have blah, 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 blah. That will never go away. Mm-hmm. But if you can't be grateful for where you are and what you do have and those little stacked wins, it's not going to matter once you're at the next goal, because let's be real, that goalpost always moves.
Yeah.
I promise you, as soon as I got into this lake house, that goalpost moved again.
Yeah.
Right? Just stack them. But it's also a choice. Like if you want to be grouchy and you want to like pour me and like, that's your decision. Like you do. And if you're like, that's who I am now and that's not who I want to be, who do you spend time with?
Yes.
You may not even know them, but who are you consuming?
Yes.
I was in a social media group And it seemed like every day there was something hard for someone. Now, let's be honest. We all have hard stuff in our life every single day. I'm not discounting that. I'm like, I can't sit here and hear hard after hard after hard after hard. Depressing. Like, I had to leave and like, I wish the best for everyone. What are you consuming? Who do you listen to in your ears?
I love that. I love that so much. And I asked that question because I'm somebody who was like that when I first, like, wasn't even starting my business, but it was back when I was like a teenager, pretty much, is it was always poor me. It was always like the victim mentality. It was like, oh, that's easy for you to say, you have X, Y, Z, all these things. And it was so much comparison. It was so much putting myself down or standing in my own way. And when somebody would tell me something like what you said, I would get very combative. It would almost be like a visceral response because I was refusing to acknowledge that I had a choice. And I, that's why I wanted to ask, because I've gotten in this habit of whenever I notice that that's something that I can feel back in the day would have been a visceral thing for me, I'm like, let's have a little bit of a tough love moment here, because I always tell people, like, I'm your friend and I'm coming with you, like coming to you as a friend saying these things. And anyone who's on this podcast is as well, like they want the best for you. And that's very true. You have said something interesting though about your husband. And I do want to ask about this because you've mentioned twice now that he's said, we're just not the type of people who do those things.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me. And so how have those conversations, I guess, I don't want to say shifted, but almost how have those conversations impacted your journey and how have you responded to them?
Sure. So in the beginning, and I want to be, I have the most supportive husband. He is the most supportive. So I don't ever want to pretend he's not, but he's also a very, traditional W-2 mentality. Like, we live a great middle-class life. Why more? Why this? Like, we don't need to do those things. And it's when you don't force it, but you just stack little wins. Let me give you our first example. When the business, we were out with friends and they're like, hey, let's go to Mexico, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, sign us up. And we got home that night. He's like, Cheryl, like, we can't go on another vacation. And I'm like, Ryan, we can, the business can pay for it. Like, I've saved enough. The business has paid us enough. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, it's not coming from the family bank account. Like, our business has paid us enough and we can take this trip. Just like little wins where it's like, oh, okay. Or with a lake house, I was like, Ryan, we can have this house and buy this house. And this is how we can afford it. And if you can show someone, oh, okay. Without forcing, right? Like, so if I just, and it was like, listen to this podcast, do this, change your mindset, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Be so combative because they're not there yet. When you stack little wins and you don't force it, but just let, instead of trying to change someone else, change yourself. And they're going to see, going to want parts of it. They're going to start to see like, oh my gosh, how did that happen? So I don't try to change them. Like, I'm going to stack my wins over here. I'm going to only worry about what I can control. I can't control that mindset. I can control my own. And you can see how I've changed and how it's working out for us.
I love that you've, again, you always come from such a, I'm going to say positive, very positive and optimistic place and supportive place. Because I see so often people think, especially women, they get really nervous about having these financial conversations with partners, especially if maybe they're earning more than them. Obviously, I don't know your financial situation, so I'm not making any assumptions or anything, but it's like, if you're earning more than your partner, or you're able to take them on a trip, it's like, it can definitely be a weird conversation and people can get nervous that their partner may not be supportive. And I loved what you mentioned about, I'm not like, it's the fact that you're not shoving it in his face. You're not like rubbing it in being like, well, of course we can. It's like, no, we can take care of this. And like, it's great. And you're just being a partner.
Yeah.
Go for it, sorry.
Just stack like your little wins and worry about you.
Yeah.
Like, obsess about yourself. You can't change or it doesn't work that way. Trust me. We all wish we had a button. We could be like, change this. This doesn't work that way. So just change what you can. And that's only you.
Yeah. So you, I'm going to go here. I am. We're going to do it because I'm curious. So you are a woman in a financial space, which is, I feel like, still not as common yet. So how, I know that there's common beliefs that, like, as a woman, we're just not going to get paid as much. It's going to be a big, like, struggle. I'm curious, obviously, this is pure your perspective, pure your own personal experiences. How have you found that in this space? And then what have you done to navigate it?
Yeah. Well, I'm backed by formal education, so I would like to start there. And I've been doing this for years. Like, like I said, I'm in New York State. I've worked in a lot of male dominated fields. I was the 25-year-old financial person for the New York State Police, dealing with all the men and then the military. So I've dealt with it, and we've, but sometimes it also works in your favor. I have a client who's like, I want you because you're not the old white man. I was like, oh, I mean, I'll take it. but I've also had it where it's like, okay, well, if you can do this, show me this, 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 and this. And like, you get to play what game you want to play. Like, I don't have to be for you. Like, maybe you prefer a man or you prefer a woman. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. But we are a team that's backed by formal education. We're backed by results. We're not new to the space. We've been doing it for years. And that speaks for itself. But I'm also okay, like, if my team of women isn't for you because we're women, that's fine. Like, I can't change that.
Yeah. I love that. Very healthy.
And that's okay.
What do you, I guess, what kind of, I don't want to say inspiration, but kind of almost in a sense, inspiration do you have for women who maybe are scared to do this for themselves?
It's all stacking, whether you stack your results, you stack your education, you study, you do whatever, like, you can only be the best you, right? So whoever you are, you can be the best you, and it's okay if someone's for you or not for you. And that's in every single industry, whether you're a man or a female, or you have dark hair or light hair, or like your personality is too strong or not too strong. There's going to be people who are for you and who are not. And that's okay.
Yeah.
It's literally okay.
I love that.
So I just come back to that. Like, I can't change who I am. So I'm just.
You have such a healthy mindset. I just want to, like, keep acknowledging that, because it's so, you are so confident and so assured of who you are. And I think that's such a beautiful, beautiful gift. And it's not just, I don't want to say it's just a gift, because it's something that you've developed, and you deserve so much appreciation for that.
That's so kind of you. It just comes from years of work and stacking what I can stack. And that's what I want everyone to do, whether you're in the fitness industry, whether you have a product, just like, stack what you can. It's always going to get better. Put something out into the world and just constantly work on improving.
So I know we have to kind of wrap up soon. So I guess one of my favorite things is, I always want people to leave this podcast being able to take action on something. And I know we've covered so many different areas, which is great. I would be curious, what's one or even two action steps that somebody who either wants to start their own business, wants to have more financial clarity, wants to have more confidence in their finances, what's one action step that they could take today to get a little bit closer to the goal that they have?
I want you to create those routines. So check your bank account every single day, whether you have a business or not, check your bank account every single day. Start there Monday through Friday. And then, like, my dream for you would to be get to where you, I like to say, plan for profit. So what are you going to do with those dollars when they come into that world? That CEO dashboard, that Google spreadsheet, whatever you want to use, start planning for your money. But if we're just starting with, like, the babiest of baby steps, go another day without checking your bank account.
I love that. I love that so much, because I think, again, it's going to help people overcome a lot of fear around it, because for whatever reason, money has not been normalized. And it's this thing that we have to, it's the one thing we have to use pretty much on a day-to-day basis.
if I could leave your audience with one thing, is all money is an opportunity. And if you want more opportunities in your life, whether it's to go get your hair done or to buy the lake house or to go on a vacation, whatever that is for you, to give back, it takes money. All money is an opportunity. Why wouldn't you want more of that?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That was wonderful, Cheryl. I want to, before we actually like end things, I did want to ask, where can everyone find you? Obviously, all the things are going to be in the description, but still, we got the audio here.
We are Empowered to Profit everywhere. We're on the Instagrams, the Facebooks. Thank you, my social media person. We're on the YouTubes. Come cringe a little bit with us and hang out at Empowered to Profit.
What kind of people do you ideally want to work with or should reach out to you?
Yeah. So we have two. If you are just starting and growing, you don't have to pay us a dime. We have tons of free resources out there. Come hang out. And if you are over six figures and you're looking for a team to help you put more of that profit into your personal account, that's who we work with. Yeah.
Cool. Well, awesome, Cheryl. Thank you so much for being on here. I said having me.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. And then, of course, as always, to everyone else, don't be a dick, especially to yourself. And we'll see you in the next one.